This is May the 2nd, 1995, 10:30 a.m. or a little later. Greetings, Commander.
Just give me a minute.
All right.
I may be available, but after a long session like yesterday, it's kind of hard for her to just give up and say, oh, well, okay, let's do it again today. I'm sorry that everybody can't be here, but we would have had to have a meeting today anyway, because there are some things that need to be discussed. Right off the top, I want to say that there have been a lot of tales running around about gold transactions, who's involved, what's involved, and then, of course, all the publications on the part of Russ Bockers trying to lump everything with CIA, including you. This is damaging to us. This is hard for us, because the last thing we want to be is lumped with anything, especially the CIA, even if we were aligned with them. Our very thrust is to not be involved. And it's extremely difficult when one's right from Austria, and when Ray Ellen tells her story and makes accusations about how damaging ones are, such as EJ, who they had charged off $50,000 to, and these people have no emergency backup anymore at all. It's very difficult to swallow and keep going. Now, there'll be a little more talk about that, I understand, today. I really appreciate the effort being made so that we can clarify some things. But I want everybody to look at the top of this paper. This came yesterday. What does it say? Whose name? Whose name?
Robert J. Peters.
This is someone who writes at least once a week. This is a very godly man. This is one of my team. He lives in Missouri. I don't want to spread around his information, although he would enjoy hearing from any one of you. This man, Russ Bockers says, is Chuck Rader, Admiral Chuck Rader. This man, Bob Peters. He laid everything off on Bob Peters, from flying the SR-71, taking him to Nigeria, Liberia, Munich, after he got out of jail. Bob Peters doesn't know how to fly a plane. He had one lesson, and the instructor said, please don't do this anymore. And he didn't. He gets around, however. And you see, for a long time, these lies can be sold, because 1 week you may get a letter from him from Florida. The next week, you may get a nice, long description of his time spent in Jerusalem. He has a daughter who is quite high-ranking in the travel business, in the airlines. So she can get tickets, and any time there's available space and he loves to go, he'll go. He did come to visit Gunther Rusbacher in the area of San Francisco. He had come out on another trip, and he was within driving distance, and he thought he would go over and check on him. Well, of course, the next thing that everybody on the other end of the line is hearing is, the big boy's here, my supervisor's here. He knew we were in trouble, and he just showed up on our doorstep. Well, he sure did. So they got some money from him. Worse than that, they told Rodney Stitch, who was writing a book. He wrote first Unfriendly Skies and then Defrauding America. And in it, he referred to Chuck Rader and named Bob Peters, because that's what he was told. Good grief. This really sets a man's family up for being wiped out when he isn't even it. So his request was of Rodney Stitch, please take that out of any revised books I'm getting calls, and my family is in danger. I am not Chuck Rader. Well, you see, I don't have to be concerned with whether he is or is not a member of the CIA or Chuck Rader or any attachment to Gunther Rusbacher. This is all I have to know, and that's all you have to know. This man's name is Bob Peters, and he lost quite a bit to the Rusbachers, including credibility. And all of you will note something that is very important to note. Any time that anybody was working with Rusbacher, he might give all of these names and he might even go make phone calls, but you have no idea who he made them to, or if he made them, or what he was doing. And he never produced anybody, did he? And if he needed to produce somebody, what you would do is say, well, now, Bob Peters is going to show up, and he'll deny. He has to deny. So don't even ask him about it, and if it comes up, he'll deny it, or he will change the subject, or he will do something. Well, now, if you were listening to a CIA, Office of Naval Intelligence person, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? So you wouldn't encroach on the security, especially when you're going to put the world on the gold standard. Let's get reasonable. The same thing is happening with Ron Jackson, you will note. I'm going to have $100,000 over to you by next week, but it never happens. I'm going to have someone call you from the Dominican Republic about the account, but it doesn't happen. But there is a major, major, big difference. Ron Jackson is in prison. They watch every move he makes. Every phone call is monitored. And, of course, half of it's lies. You don't come out and sell a nation on your leadership if they don't think that you've got at least 31 million people or at least letters, duplicates, triplicates, you know, 5 million pounds of letters, whatever you're going to say. He could not have 31 million separate people on his mailing list. He says it takes 2.5 hours for the computer to run it off. That cannot be. That absolutely cannot be, because so many people have written him 3 or 4 times that you know just logistically. And nobody has time to open all of that mail, and all of it cannot be sidetracked to Louisiana. So he's still a good politician. And I'm not going to argue with him because I don't know. And if they're going by weight of letters, maybe somebody wrote him a 15-page letter. That happens too. And the women who are infatuated with him will write him every day. And he loves it. But he may have to face the piper when he gets out. But that isn't my business. Your nation is partially my business. Your soul is my business. My mission is my business. And you've got to have leaders. And by golly, I want a leader that gets out there and says, I can do it. I not only have done it, I got 31 million pieces of mail to back me up. Have you ever noticed Clinton or Dole or anyone else supplying all those separate pieces of mail in their polls? Let's not be foolish. And always hold in your mind, and do not interpret what I'm saying is that I am saying this about Ron Jackson, because I am not. But I can use my enemy, and unless you start using yours, you're not going to make it. You are just flat not going to make it. Now, they're just shifting around and toe dancing like mad in Washington, D.C. And they just keep little distractors going all the time. Let's go arrest this one. Okay. Now let's feel very good about the way we handle contact. Has anybody been to the contact main office to arrest you for suspicion of working with McVeigh? Okay, McVeigh could say, well, I read about this Patriot stuff in contact. What did they say? Oh, well, they said don't join a militia. They said violence won't work. And certainly not fertilizer bombs. Well, they don't have any reason then to come and arrest you as a material witness, do they? I'm sorry for ones like Mark from Michigan. They don't advocate violence. They advocate protection and regaining of constitutional law. But any time you take up arms, you become suspicious. And since they want to get rid of all your leaders, isn't it logical to take out the leaders? You see, even Bo Greitz are having a little more trouble with because he does have a voice on the radio and he can prove he didn't say some of those things. And it could be to his advantage to have called Commander Hatton a 12-foot lizard while he's dealing with it. I don't have trouble with Bo Greitz. Why do you? When the connections need to be made, I'll make them. And until then, I'll use it. If it pulls in attention in a positive way to what we're trying to do and what needs to be done and a possible reclamation of your nation, I don't want to come forth and cause great big quarrels that get us tossed out before people are willing to hear. And that means that a lot of things have to take place exactly like I said they would. And that doesn't mean I'm a fortune teller. It means things like this. Because anybody who knows Hatton and may know Bob Peters doesn't have any trouble realizing whether it is Gunther Rusbach or Raylan Rusbach or Hatton who has lied to you. So when people give you a bad time, I'm tired of you thinking it as an unpositive thing, non-positive, negative. No, it isn't. This is one of the most positive proofs you've got that I'm real. Don't forget it. Now, I want to lecture just another minute, and then I'm going to work Wes over. And that's why I had to pause here up front, because it's one thing for Norma to work with ones that she knows, but see, I have to work individually, and it's hard to come out of that conscious mode and into a subconscious state of being. And we did this with John Schreffer, and my goodness, I had to walk every step of the way holding them up. John can walk without shuffling. We proved it. But son of a gun, she takes off up the sidewalk with her eyes shut, you know, to fall on her face with him. So we have to get around a few of these things. And I have to convince her first that you don't have to worry about it, dear. I will. But I want to talk to Wally. He said something about getting up without diabetes. What did you do when you didn't know you had it? You got up and you did whatever you were going to do. Do not think of these things as negative inputs. Diabetes is one thing that can be controlled easily. Use it for the positive input that brings to you to watch your own body handle these things. It may or may not be something you did or deprived yourself of or overdid or whatever. Stop blaming yourself, number one, and allow yourself to heal. I love it when you women, you go to Weight Watchers, and then but before you weigh in, you all run to the bathroom as if you're going to get rid of fat. I won't drink a drop. I will go weigh in first, and then I will eat my cake and drink my coffee, and then I will be okay. It's all right to have diabetes. Give yourself permission, Wally. And then, for goodness sakes, look at a piece of cake as to what it may do and adjust. If you know you're going to eat one of those whole cakes over there, take some other stuff, an additional amount. Don't do this to your mind. And then write a book. We have a friend in town who wrote a book. I have lived so many years with lupus. It's a delightful book. Poor Wally, though, you know, he went from what he considered overweight to being very pleased when he started losing weight because he had finally gone over the line with diabetes. But I had to step into the picture because I watched him drinking a gallon of water at a time. Those are symptoms. And at the same time, Dorma is saying, for God's sake, will you quit practicing medicine? It's really embarrassing to me. What if he doesn't have it? But he does. So what are you worried about, dear?
But I thought he was on a great diet. I tried it.
As a matter of fact, so did Kathy. Everybody was just drinking gallons of water. I was afraid you were all going to float or drown, one or the other. Accept what you have and see what you can do with it. Maybe you just need a little colloid silver. How neat. But probably what you need and what I will try to provide is some pancreatic tissue. Because obviously what has happened is the islets of Langerhans that produce insulin have failed to function or they're now missing. I can't just look from the satellite stars and say, oh, Wally, I see only one left and we'll do it, you know. These are things that are not going to take you out. And if you handle them properly, you can be the control that allows us to get through a period of time when maybe we don't have insulin, but we are going to have diabetes. Because that's one of the things that comes from the non-nutritive food. It is prevalent. What I have to concern about is with diabetes is to keep an eye on the kidneys because this is a purification system. And very, very frequently kidney failure comes along with diabetes. But Wally does not have the kind of, there are many, many kinds. There's insipid, you know. There are all these little named categories for different and sundry things like lupus. When they don't know what they're working with, they give them a lot of different names. For instance, there's only one kind of cancer, and it is very normal happening. Just one. So when someone says, oh, I have liver cancer. No, you don't. You may have cancer, and it may be in the liver, and it may be affecting the liver tissue, but it's not liver cancer. You have mutated cells in the liver proliferating because your immune system is so weak it won't handle the mutation. And when ones are like Guy Tucker, he has, by all the misuse of toxins and alcohol, etc., he's damaged his liver to the point he needs a transplant. That is not going to recover easily. It could, but I can guarantee you now it won't. And you've got to stop worrying about your neighbor. I can understand. We've done it. We had to go through that. Oh, let's push it, push it, push it. You see, you have ones who are out there, and they really will profess to wanting to learn. But the moment that you cross their belief system or what they know or they think they know, you're dead. Everything you say will have a misinterpretation placed on it. It's like the political humor. You know, there is some very good political humor. I thought it was rather interesting when they were giving Mr. Fung such a bad time, and the guys went out to lunch. They came back with some fortune cookies. And Mr. Shapiro, simply as he passed them out, made some little cute joke about getting them at the Hang Fung restaurant. And the entire Oriental community came up in arms. You have insulted us. That's why we don't have a group or a cult. You can get mad at me for saying whatever I might say, but you can't get mad at the organization and shut it down because there isn't one. But very frequently, people do not want to come to understand or come into understanding. They want to come to nail you. If I wait long enough, you'll say something, and then I can discount everything you've offered. It's okay. Does everybody understand that is okay with me and should be with you? What somebody else thinks of you is absolutely none of your business. None. And what you think of me is none of my business. I will try to meet you halfway if you are wrong in my opinion. But I may not take the time of everyone who is interested in trying to learn something new. And the best way is always through questioning. We have a long way to go. And if we do it incorrectly, we're going to find ourselves up against more and more and more encounters with the law. And I'm talking about lawyers. We don't need that. It is a financial disaster. It is a time-consuming thing. But until you've walked the road, you don't know what to avoid, do you? And people will say, well, why don't you just come right out and say something? Not on your ever cotton-picking life am I going to. The ones who know me know what I'm saying. Or it's not intended for them to know what I'm saying. But by golly, when they come to prosecute you in a court of law because of something I've said, they got to prove it. And I know it's hard. Sometimes I push that envelope right to the living edge, especially with the law. But you have to see how fixed the courts are, how totally off the subject the lawyers get. In a case that's gone on for nearly 8 years with the Eckers, they took money, cash, to go buy their home at sale, like exactly like they were told to do. The auctioneer even walked through the room, and it is proven by phone calls he made that he could not have given a sale. And what are we doing now, after 8 years? The opposition is looking into the sale of the property by the RTC to an Arizona operation. While the money flows. And yet you daresn't shut it down because these are deep pockets you're up against now. This is a major chain auction operation. And they've already even changed the name of it. But they have big offices in L.A., big offices in San Diego. and they have to be bonded. I want to tell you the crime came down, absolutely, the crime came down through the RTC right from the White House. Remember the SNLs? And I said in the beginning, just hold to your seats. Because you're going to find it goes right back to the White House, to Bush and Reagan. And the mortgage house was Santa Barbara Savings and Loan, right there. Run and basically owned by Shea and Gould, who Jason Brent, the municipal attorney, was put on the bench after at least $50,000 donations to Duke Majan, the governor of California. Isn't it interesting? And you think, well, that's just them. That's just them. Who in the world is them? These are just two people. If it has happened to them on every blame thing that comes along, and you start looking back through your own trail, it is not just them. It is every one of you citizens. But there is nothing like the experience. It has been very interesting to see the attorneys open their eyes. My God, how could this go on? How could it go on one more day? Well, it does go on. We got into the quarrel with US&P. I don't care about those books. There is one I really care about. The Sacred Spirit Within. That was dedicated to Little Crow. And it didn't refer to a damn thing that US&P or Walter Russell could ever find fault with. But it got lumped in. But you see, I don't need them to rewrite that book and leave them out. You are the ones who pay the price. You are the ones who do not get the information that you need. I don't need any of US&P's information. I don't need any of Walter Russell's information. And as a matter of fact, I prefer Tom Astley's drawings. I purposely did not dictate those books, the ones that are really in focus. I purposely did not do that, so when I got ready to present those books, I will present them. Dharma's a lot more comfortable with me. And you can bet your bottom dollar that that name will not be mentioned in any of them. The only thing that will be run in there from Walter Russell, and he will get full-blown credit, is his elemental table. But I don't bring this up to talk about subject. I bring it up to tell you how stupid the system is. They finally go to court over it. George Green has already bargained his way out. He never showed up in court, ever. And he was the one the suit was against. And Dharma gets saddled with contempt of court. And the attorney that Mr. Tips had gotten, Mr. Methvin, ended up being George Green's attorney later against these ones and got a judgment for $6,000 for unpaid legal fees when this man went to court and had never even seen the books in point. Now you tell me what kind of a job you can do. So what happens? The attorney gets up and quotes several cases. Precedent cases, which were immediately thrown out. You couldn't do a better job of setting up clients than they did and then want to be paid for it. And then when he went to represent the other side, he made a bad blunder. Nothing's been done about it. But he even sent papers to get relieved as the attorney, even if some information may be used against you. When Eckers read that, they're not so stupid anymore. He said, no, thank you. We will never sign that paper. But he went ahead anyway and represented the other side. And not only represented the other side, used all the information from depositions, not even presented in court before they were ever even approved, and offered them to the other side. Out of context. Now that's what you're up against. And don't you wish it were just the Eckers? Your nation's at stake. Your world is at stake. Of course, once you have such bad law, such bad judicial law, everything bad will have been set by precedent in a case. Oh, Judge Roy Bean ruled against that back here in that set of precedent, so let's quote that one. And this judge then looks at that and says, well, I have to rule against you because Judge Roy Bean set a precedent. That's what you've got. You've got admiralty, maritime law, and the flag in the courtroom proves it. It's got a beautiful gold fringe. You've got some interesting times ahead. And I know that it seems like it's been very hard to get to here. But isn't it really kind of difficult if you care about what you're doing and you go off to college to become the best physician in the world? And I'm not talking about the medical association. I'm talking about the best physician, the best philosopher, the best minister. I don't even care if the Bible is wrong. If you go to study that subject, don't you want to be the best? And do you just walk into it and have a revelation, walk out of it, and you are informed? It doesn't happen. That is unrealistic. And when you can come to the realistic approach to everything that you do, and no wonder it takes so long for you to come, because you are brought up as children of the lie, then people of the lie, and why do you have to get into your 60s, 50s, 80s to finally see the cotton-picking truth? Because it's all the lie. And suddenly it took you 60 years to come and find it. Why do you expect the children to find it by the time they're 10 or 20 years old? We have to be kind. We have to be gracious. We have to have understanding and acceptance of ones while they are struggling to find their way. Sometimes I'm asked, how do you stand it? I can stand it because I can see that if anybody keeps coming back, they want to know. Even if they want to prove me wrong, as long as they will come in here, they're going to hear truth. And that's why I'm so sure that if they stay, they will get it. And ones can come and go and come back. You see, we don't have any doctrines on God. And this is a hard place. Basically, this town is a very, very difficult place to survive, financially or emotionally. Oh, it's beautiful, and it is the Valley of Radiance, and you can hang on to that. But it's hard to get a job because any jobs around are filled by the politicians who plan to develop this valley, and I have to keep standing in the way of that. Because this is intended to be a very beautiful, nicely developed area. For a lot of reasons that I will not go into. But you've got the Jason Brents of the world. You've got the fixed courts. You've got the teams in your sheriff's department who have gone both to Russia to train the Russian SWAT teams, and the Russians have come back here. And they go to the same academy. And these are basically nice guys, but I'm telling you, if a judge hands them a court order and says, go arrest so-and-so, here is a warrant for their arrest, and this happened right out of a meeting over across the street. Called Dorma out to the parking lot. They didn't come in to make a big scene. EJ went out. They served him with arrest papers. And then she went out. Well, they couldn't bring themselves to haul him in. Now, that was just too much. These guys knew these ones from being down to the restaurant. And they knew something was screwy. But you see, the point was, is to begin to put the heat on these two. And even Zeta in L.A., I mean in Bakersfield, ran into a man who said, are you with that Phoenix group? This has been a long time ago during all of this. And she said, what do you mean? Well, that group, you know, that paper, that stuff. And she said, well, I know them. I don't understand what you're asking me. And he said, well, you can tell them that they're not going to be there very long. They're going to be either gotten out of there or taken out. Well, now, isn't that a nice afternoon greeting? Well, they're still here, and that's been at least 2.5, 3 years. And the shoe begins to come back the other way. You see, as far as Judge Jason Brent, he is such a big shot that he belongs to the Mensa Society. And when he wrote his paper on killing off the old, the infirm, he kind of lost a little credibility around the community. And you didn't have to do that, did you? Of course, it's all died out again. Because nobody pays attention longer than a day or two. And after all, what are you going to do with this overpopulation? And ones who come forth and say, that is a lie, that is a myth, there is no such thing as overpopulation, that is incorrect. If everything worked according to perfection, there is no such thing as overpopulation. But the way you're handling things and the depletion of the mineralization in your food, you're overpopulated. And that's because you're going to have a massive, massive population of infirm people. And at that point, you see, Jason Brent can issue this statement that you're going to have to accept the killing off of the older people, the infirm, and he literally used the word stupid. That was stupid. Now, this is a Mensa. I mean, you know, we only allow anyone with an IQ of, 138 or something like that in it. What is the IQ? 150. What?
150.
Well, I don't know.
Too high for me.
But I can guarantee you that in some area of intelligence, everyone in this room can beat it. Who judges it? Who grades the IQ test? Who grades it? Well, I imagine somebody like Judge Jason Brent would be on the board, wouldn't you think, to judge his IQ rating?
He'd avoid it. I've seen Mensa students work before.
Yeah, it's an elite society. Anyway, we have to always remember that although we would like to be patriots and we would like to go out and we would like to play and we would... Hey, it's fun. It's a lot more fun to go wave your flags in everybody's face and have some kind of a confrontation that perks up the day than it is to have to learn to maintain your balance. But I don't believe that it's too dull. and is going to get a little more exciting, even in pain. This is why people will literally accept pain rather than get rid of it. There is a kind of pain that is a very good signal that you better pay attention because something's wrong. And if you are standing there with a hot iron on your wrist, it's better that it hurts, so you take it off. Now, G. Gordon Liddy could hold his hand over a candle flame if he wants to until his hand burns through, but it's stupid. But it's mind control, isn't it? So there's a time for each thing. If you are hurting, for goodness sake, stop the hurting if you can. If you are a therapist and somebody is dying of a headache, don't you try to get rid of the headache first and then find the reason. Because sometimes an emotional headache is a worse kind. A migraine headache you can't find a cause from or for. So here comes the man with a bad, bad migraine headache. Now, wouldn't you give him something, if you have it, to help get him back into something, into a state where he can think of something else besides the pain? So pain control is important, and then find out why the pain. And if it's because you've got a hot iron sitting on your arm, take it off. If you have a hot iron sitting on the brain, find out what it is and cool it off. But I shudder. I absolutely shudder as I watch ones who think, oh, well, now he's all for hypnosis and hypnotherapy and blah and blah and blah. No, I'm not. As I watch what happens. And I watch the advertisements. Learn to control your girlfriend. Go ahead and take out every bit of opposition and disagreement, and I'm telling you, boredom. If you cannot have a lively debate and disagreement with your spouse, you're dead. And you can have it and still treat it with respect. You don't have to insult each other.